All right. We're talking on the subject of manifesting the sons of God. We got in this area called vengeance and recompense, which we're almost over with, but we have just a little bit more. Just want to make sure this gets into your knower. Y'all know what I mean by knower? Okay, down into your heart, because we want it to be just second nature to you, as they say, that the word they use. Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Say, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from this bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? Until right now. Praise God. All right. Good stuff here. Well, let's see where I start, because I want to start on time and finish on time. Can you sit here for 33 minutes and 43 seconds? All right, and that's what we're going to do. All right, I'm still on time today. I'm practicing on you. Now, this scripture that I've just read to you is a scripture that we used as a foundation for what we're teaching on in terms of vengeance and recompense. Now, this is a prophetic teaching that I'm doing, meaning that, excuse me, it was something that God had already designated or planned to come about. And what we did is we took you over to Psalms. Go over there with me, please. Psalms chapter 102. Psalms 102. Psalms 102. All right, in Psalms 102. Now, in Psalm 102, he here is talking about a set time. There's verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. So this is a prophetic time for release and restoration. Now just stay with me, please. I'm getting this into your spirit. It is a time that's prophetic for the church to lead the world. It's a packaged, prepackaged time. And it said in verse 16, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. All right? So this is a time before Jesus comes. And it's a set time. Now, when we talked about set time, we talked about a divine programmed time that something was going to happen. And what we did is we centered our teaching around Isaiah 61. Turn over there real quick. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 gives the reading of where Jesus stood up in the synagogue and he read from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities of the desolations of many generations. For your shame, verse 7, you shall have double. Verse 8, For I, the Lord, love judgment. That word translates directly justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I'll direct their work in truth, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. And all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the who? Lord has blessed. All right. Now, justice is what we're after here. Because justice is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. Justice. It's a vital part. Now, when God brings us into this new birth, we are now born into the kingdom. Then he trains us and sends us out into different spheres of influence. Now, in these spheres of influence, we go out, and the manifestation of the culture that is in us now begins to manifest there. Righteousness and wisdom and peace and joy, integrity, values, holiness. These things begin to manifest in us in the world. Now, the world is coming up against a place where they're having no answers for the problems. And you and I have been called problem solvers for God. Now, again, what happened to Daniel? Now, this kind of goes off to my message that I preached the other night on no more toil. Daniel had a situation where the king dreamed a dream, didn't know what he dreamt, and then he went after his wise men and said, now show me what I dreamed. Well, they couldn't tell him. He said, well, now, if you're not going to tell me, then I'm going to have all you all destroyed. Well, they were put over a barrel. Here comes Daniel. He tells the king, says, the king, don't bother with it. I'll take it. Give me a couple of days. I'll tell you what you dream. Daniel goes home at night. He and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or the names that they had before that. And they got together. Daniel went to sleep, and God gave him the dream in his sleep. He gave him what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed and what he meant. Now, this solved the problem for the king. And over in Joseph's life, he dreamed a dream. And in that, he solved the problem for Egypt and the world at that time, because the world was about to go into famine. A lot of lives were going to be lost. So because of Joseph, many lives were spared. All right. So I'm saying that God is anointing you, and he's making it so that you can go out and restore lives of people, restore environments, and that you will go out prophetically packaged to lead the world. Wherever you go, systems, institutions, cultures, environments, legislations, codes, ordinances, regulations, and policies must adjust themselves to accommodate your divine purpose. So you're just not some worm in the dust. You're the answer to the world's problems. So now, what happened was Adam lost the earth because of his disobedience, lost authority over it. Satan took it and became God of this world, little g. Jesus came and got it back. And then before he left permanently, he turned it over to the disciples or mankind again. Now I want to show you something, because I'm going to talk about the anointing. Because a lot of God's people, just like I talked about God being with you and 300 of you can defeat, so forth and so on, a lot of people don't see that because they don't know the power of God that they have, that God has placed resident inside of them. So if you'll go with me to John chapter 5, please. And I'd like to show you this. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 5. Jesus makes an interesting statement. Verse 26. If you're there, say praise the Lord. He said this, "For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son of to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is who? The Son of Man." Isn't that interesting? He didn't say the Son of God. Why? Because for Jesus to work in the earth, he could not work as God. Because for God to work independent of a man would be illegal, as long as the earth is under a lease. God gave the earth over to Adam. Now, this is important. Now, how did Jesus do all that he did? When Jesus was born and up to 30 years old, you never hardly heard anything except he went into the synagogue and astounded those folk at 12 years old. Other than that, you don't hear anything about it. Don't read anything about it. But now at 30 years old, he comes in the synagogue and opens this passage of Isaiah and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Close the book and sit down. He didn't say anything about vengeance. Now, before he announced that, he was tempted 40 days in the wilderness fasting, and came and returned in the power of the Spirit, because he now had come and John saw him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And he came and John, you know, didn't want to baptize him because John knew his authority. And John, and he said, "No, baptize me that the scriptures can be fulfilled." He baptized him. And when Jesus was raised up out of the water, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God rested upon him like a dove. Now he was empowered. Got it? And that same Spirit that was on him rested on you. So he didn't do what he did as God. One time the devil challenged him in one of the gospels. I don't have time to find it right now. But the enemy said to him, "I know who you are. You are God. You can't cast me out." Jesus said, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he had to leave. Why? The Pharisees said to Jesus over in Matthew 21, "Who gave you this authority?" Jesus said, "Well, I'm going to ask you one thing. The baptism of John, was it of men or was it from heaven?" They knew if they said from men, the people would stone them because they knew John was a prophet. Say amen to this. And then they knew if they said from heaven, they'd play right into Jesus' hands. So they backed up and said, "We don't know." Jesus said, "Well, if you won't tell me that, then I won't tell you what authority. Who gave me this authority?" But he had authority from heaven. The Spirit of God rested on him, gave him power and the anointing to go and do what needed to be done in terms of power works. Because the Bible says over in Psalm 110 and Psalm 66, that it's through power shall your enemies submit. Somebody needs some power. And it's interesting how folk locally in the modern church have been trying to talk everybody into the kingdom. Folks, Paul said it like this: my speech and my preaching are not in the persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? So that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. You see, it was never meant that the gospel be preached without power. Folks, it's supposed to be. Jesus, even when John the Baptist was put in prison in his days because he was leaving because his ministry had now ended and Jesus' ministry had started, two of the disciples of John said, go and see, was he really the one or should we look for another? They came to Jesus and said, John the Baptist sent us to you and asked, are you the one or should we look for another? He said, well, now go tell John what things you have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Notice what he didn't do. He didn't say, go tell him what wonderful sermons I preach and what beautiful elocution of the English language I have put forth. He didn't say that. Because you can go into places and people can use all the academic words they can. But they can't, if they can't stop the devil, them words not gonna help them.
Take it off, first off. Come on. Take it off.
You better hear what I'm saying, folks. It's almost like who's the most popular, because who can use the biggest words and hook together the nicest phrase and then get things that'll make people hallelujah and so forth. Where is the demonstration? I said, are their cities transformed? Is there just as much crime in there with their church in there as it was when their church was out of there? Where is the evidence that the gospel has made an impact in this earth? And you're going to need some power to stop the devil. And Moses knew that. God told Moses, now listen, let me show you how to demonstrate this. Because when you go down to Pharaoh going to ask you, show him a miracle. Say amen to that. Folks, we've been trying to debate people into the kingdom. We've been trying to con them into the kingdom and so forth. But where are all the miracles? Where is the evidence that what you just preached is the gospel of Jesus Christ and it's coming with its own power? Paul said this, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, Lord, I'm preaching here now. Of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that'll believe. Say amen to that. Folks, we need to start seeing the dead raised. We need to start seeing terminal 4-stage cancer immediately healed. We need to start seeing new kidneys come in.
Come on, Pastor.
This is our time. Well, I got news for you. We're going to start seeing that. I said, because we got a bunch of hungry Christians now that are not just settling for 3 points and a point. We're going to have to see the demonstration of the Spirit. Church, with all this power we got in here, all y'all filled with the Holy Ghost, it should be so much power in here that folks come in here limping, walk, run out of here. It should be so much. But what do? We got to put a demand on that kind of anointing, because you got it in here and you got to say, I ain't leaving here without a miracle. I need to see a miracle in this house. You hear what I'm telling you? That's what time it is. It's a set time of God's favor. Anointing's supposed to be so strong you can't even stand it. But the quality of word that you're getting will determine the strength of the output that you'll see. You can't have some watered-down, sugar-coated, bent-wrist sermon and think you're going to get the power of God. Man, you've got to give them straight with no chaser. You've got to give it supernatural. Teaching will be supernatural thinking. Supernatural thinking will be supernatural believing. Supernatural believing will be supernatural manifestation. I'm not supposed to preach something you can just say, yeah, praise the Lord. I'm supposed to preach something you're supposed to say, what? I ain't never heard nothing like that in your, you heard it here. The devil is a liar. Come on now. We can get this thing up to a level that whatever you put in the offering today, you can go in your pocketbook right now and find it back in it. You better, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. What I'm talking about. I'm talking about an anointing of 1,000 times more. Say amen to that. I mean an anointing come on you where you've been making $8 an hour. Now you all of a sudden that anointing kicks in and you get $8,000 an hour. Lord have mercy. Takes you 1,000 days to do something, it'll take you one day 1,000 times more. That anointing is coming on the church right now. I said that anointing of 1,000 times more, where you've been leaving for 100-fold, bump it up another zero, because 1,000 times more is about to kick in. You about to go into the land of milk and honey. Boy, I didn't mean to preach this hard, but somebody here is pulling. Somebody here is pulling. Sit down. I got to finish this here. I got 11 minutes and 33 seconds. Now, vengeance. Vengeance, eke boro se tinga basatan la lavoconda, moroco si telebekina, renge iroso tolabahata, rekas isotolabakina, mandala cosatalabahundre, rekia boboro sotolabahata. I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost. There's a new spirit of boldness about to come on you. You ain't gonna be ashamed of it no more. You're gonna be willing to say what need to be said. I said you're gonna be willing to say what need to be said. My Lord. All right, sit down. Let me try to finish this. I gotta do some teaching here now. Woo! I gotta do some teaching here. We ain't done quite yet. Let me finish this. God can turn you into a millionaire in 24 hours. See, you don't, Lord have mercy. Sit down, y'all got me, y'all, that can't boom, my son. All right, let me finish. All right, now, whoo, let me just end. I just got 7 minutes here. I got to finish. Now, let me tell you this. The reason why I want to get this into your spirit is because God has chosen you for this time. And you're gonna really make a difference because of what He had loaded you with. And I want you to get a good understanding of vengeance because when you get it loaded down in you right, then you will find that you become impervious. Now, y'all didn't know I knew that word. But I had to look it up. Because I know what it means, but I want to make sure that I'm saying it right. It means incapable of being injured or impaired. It means not to be penetrated or passed through. You become impervious. In other words, once you get this down into your spirit, you cannot be molested, you cannot be assaulted, you cannot be harassed, and you cannot be tormented. That God will judge anyone who touches you. Come on now. And this includes every kind of attack or accident. No accidents. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not. here to tell you that your day is not coming. Your day is here. This is your time of deliverance. This is what you've been waiting for. Woo, I can't preach. Take a seat now. Let's try to. Hold on, take a seat. Take a seat. Now, something shifted. I said something shifted. Now you start speaking things into existence. Because something has shifted. Say amen to this.
Sit up. All right. Now, somebody here, now you don't know Jesus. And the reason why you were brought here today, because God wanted you to be saved. That's why you came today. Now don't think you just coincidence, you just whatever it is. God had a hand in it. Now, every one of us had to come this way. Now this is your day. The greatest miracle in the Bible is to be born again. So right now, I want to call you without struggle. I want you to respond. I want to pray with you the same prayer they prayed for me. That after they did, not only was I healed and delivered, but God took all the weight of the world off my life. And then my life was never the same from then on. So right now, you, whoever you are, you've come here. And you can join this church today if you'd like to, but if you don't, we just get you into the family and we'll send you where you'd like to go. All those right now I'm talking to, you need Jesus in your life. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and walk up here. Stand with me.